Hey everyone, it's Tori Johnson, and I'm so happy to have you on this call as we are just 1 week away from the Pennsylvania Conference for Women, and then we're off to Texas, followed by Massachusetts in early December. And I'm thrilled to once again host a track specifically for current and aspiring small business owners. This year, as you probably know, it's part of the main conference day, so you'll get all of the big keynotes and the networking and the incredible exhibit hall, but you will also have programming just for you, with an emphasis on small business marketing. It is all about reaching the right clients and customers to effectively promote your product, service, or expertise. And personally, I'm actually really excited to learn from the speakers that we've assembled for our workshop. But for now, for this call, I want to share with you some of the lessons that I've learned from successful women who I think really know how to hustle. And the emphasis is definitely on being successful. It is not about being busy because, fortunately or unfortunately, busy and successful are not synonymous, if only, right? Our level of success is definitely impacted greatly by how we spend our time, where we choose to focus our efforts. And hope is not a strategy. To get what you want, it's all about making smart decisions and then taking swift, consistent action every single day. Because the magic doesn't happen when you're dreaming and scheming. That's the fun part. That's the easy part. The magic happens when you're doing. And I spent 10 weeks traveling over the summer meeting some of the most successful small business owners in America. So I want to just dive in to a few of their most universal messages, the things that I go back to time and again that enable me to be my best. First, these women know that persistence and problem-solving prevail. Liz Lang is the maternity designer, the retail pioneer, and she says that when you are looking to do big things, you're going to hear a lot of no's, so get ready to be persistent. She pitched her concept of high-end maternity wear to every single top New York City department store, and all of them rejected the idea. All of them said, women don't want it, you've got it all wrong, you're trying to redefine the marketplace that doesn't really need what you're proposing, rejection after rejection. And instead of throwing in the towel, she simply decided to do it herself. She began designing pieces one at a time for pregnant friends, and word spread from there. And soon she had her own Madison Avenue shop, then Nike and Target came calling for major licensing deals, and all of her success can be attributed most basically to an initial and ongoing refusal to accept no. Such an important lesson. I call Laura Geller the QVC cosmetics queen, and she says, don't get too comfortable. It's all about staying current and focusing on what's next, or you risk being left behind, says Laura. Too often, we get so mired in the day-to-day details that we ignore what's on the horizon, and as a small business owner, you've got to be paying attention to that, or you're going to be left behind. So what are the trends that are impacting your field? How can you stay on top of what's happening and who's doing what within your category? And can you anticipate what your audience will expect from you next? Such important things to focus on. Carol's daughter, founder Lisa Price, is a real firecracker, and she says that you must be comfortable turning the mirror on yourself to see the problems in various situations. And I can't tell you how many women often say to me, oh, you know, it's the economy, nobody's spending any money, or Facebook doesn't work, it just doesn't produce any results, and they're so quick to blame everyone and everything else, but never ever themselves. And yet, I believe so strongly that each of us is responsible for our own success, which means we are also responsible for our own potential failure. And it's so critical to recognize that nobody's coming to rescue us. It is truly up to us to go out and make things happen. So look at yourself and figure out what you need to change to get what you want before you're quick to blame outside forces. It's all of the stuff that's coincidentally beyond your control that we like to point to. Those are the things that we like to say, oh, it's the economy, oh, it's, you know, it's things that I can't control. But it's a lot easier and more productive to focus first and primarily on yourself. Another powerhouse who really echoes this, but just in a slightly different way, is a woman named Rhoda Olson. She's the head of the hair salon Great Clips, which she grew from 1,000 salons to over 3,000 locations, from $200 million in revenue to $800 million in revenue. And she says that when she finds herself getting defensive about her ideas or her position, she loses her strength, perspective, and power. And I think that's such an incredible statement. And I sense that that happens with a lot of us. So instead of blaming others for disagreeing with her or blaming others for not seeing what she sees or for blaming others for not catching on quickly enough, Rhoda asks, what can I do differently here? And by asking that simple question, by having that same kind of focus, it'll save you a lot of headaches and many hours of drama because looking inward often produces the best solutions. A good example of that, Julia Baker has an incredible gourmet chocolate business. She's based in Phoenix, but her chocolate is sold everywhere, and her clients include Elton and Oprah and Bono, and yet even they aren't enough to maintain a lucrative business for her. So when the economy tanked, Julia expanded from mainly selling her signature $200 chocolate hat boxes to other much more affordable options. She introduced, for example, a two-piece favor box for weddings and the two-piece box for the just-because occasions when you just need a little chocolate, and it saved her business. And her message is that challenges should force you to be creative, not force you to cave in. And I think that the smartest hustlers really know how to choose to respond to challenges in a way that will make or break their business because they take the reins, they take command, they take control, as opposed to sort of shrugging their shoulders and assuming that, oh, well, you know, these powerful forces are bigger than me, they're greater than me, and I'm sort of hopeless and powerless to do nothing. Next, successful women choose their networks wisely. And I want to just say from the beginning, this is definitely not about having famous or powerful or well-connected people in your Rolodex. Far from it. One of my favorite people is a woman named Jess Weiner, and she's a global ambassador for Dove's Real Beauty campaign, an expert on self-esteem in women and girls. She travels throughout the world talking about this issue and researching it. And Jess believes strongly that every woman needs what she calls an esteem team. And there's a very simple way to determine if someone is suitable for this role in your life. If you called a friend in the middle of the night and you said, I have a body that must be moved, there's only one acceptable response, and that is, where is it? I'm on my way. And yet, we all know plenty of people who would have a very different response. They would say, you know, oh, geez, you know, what kind of trouble have you caused this time? Or, you know, where did you screw up again? Or, you know, what did you do, you know, yet again? I mean, there's plenty of people that would say that kind of stuff. You know, we all have enough people around us who will tell us that we're not good enough. They'll ask us, you know, who do we think we are? We don't have the right experience. You know, we should know our place. We should get greedy. And sometimes, no matter how hard you try, you can't get rid of these people. You know, they are in your life, sometimes in your own home. But you can tune them out because you have at least one person on that esteem team, that one person who really believes in you and what you want to accomplish and is going to root for you no matter what and is going to tell you that you can do it against all odds, is going to push you to go make things happen. And if you don't have that person, you will absolutely find her at one of the women's conferences. And so that alone is a great reason to join us. Jill Strahan, she's the founder of the direct sales company Tastefully Simple, and she advises women who want to do big things to hang out with the motors, not the anchors. The anchors are okay with the status quo. They're content with maintaining things just as they are, kind of holding steady. They don't want to rock the boat. They don't want to make waves. Motors, on the other hand, are moving, exploring, progressing. They're going places. And you need motors if you want to launch or grow your business or your career. So look for those motors. Next, successful business owners know their numbers. Too often I hear women say, oh, I'm going to give it my best shot. I'm going to try as hard as I can, and, you know, we'll see what happens. And that is way too willy-nilly. You know, that works for a hobby, but that doesn't work for a business. If you are truly serious about building a profitable small business, you have to know your numbers. And before you get scared, you know, that doesn't mean mastering MBA-level math. It means having a serious handle on the basics. So the very basics. That I can share with you. And you know, it depends a little bit dependent on the type of business that you have. But as a whole, across the board, you know, what does it cost you to deliver your product or service, including the value of your time and talent? You have to include your time and talent as part of your cost. to deliver that product or service or that expertise. Then how much can you realistically charge for what it is that you're offering? No matter what you're offering, you know, what will people realistically pay for it? And how many products can you move or how many clients can you secure per day, per week, per month, per year, depending on what your business model is? And then finally, by looking at just those three basic numbers, how much money can you realistically make? And, you know, if you take a sort of a super simple example, you know, a manicurist, she says she wants to make $150,000 a year, but she's only willing to charge $10 for an hour-long manicure, and she expects to do it all by herself. Obviously, that is a totally unrealistic formula. Those numbers just don't add up. And so she's going to have to rejigger somewhere. She's going to have to charge more for the service. She's going to have to do the service quicker. She's going to have to bring in other people to support her, or she's going to have to adjust how much money she wants to make in a year. You can do those very basic calculations on your business to have a solid sense of what is possible in your world. What do you want to make happen, and how exactly are you going to do it? You also have to know exactly where your money is, what's coming in, what's going out, and where exactly is it going? You know, what are your costs? You know, having a real control and a sense of what exactly those costs are. And even if you outsource a lot of this to a bookkeeper, to an accountant, you've got to know your basic cash flow. And you have to have specific targets that you are working towards and then very clear measures for regularly evaluating your progress. So there's no such thing as sort of like, we'll give it a shot and at the end of the month we'll see if there's any money in the bank. You've got to have a very good sense of, here's what I have to make happen each month or every quarter in order to have the sustainable business that I want for myself or that I need for myself. And so burying your head to the numbers is not going to enable that to happen. But it doesn't have to be intimidating to get clear on the numbers. And once you do, it's this enormous sense of relief and financial freedom and financial independence that you know where your money's at, and you know how you're making it, you know how you're spending it, and you know what's yours. Shark Tank's Barbara Corcoran started her real estate empire in New York with just $1,000 that she borrowed from a boyfriend, and then she sold her company for $66 million. So I'd say she knows a thing or two about money and about making big things happen. And Barbara's a big believer that everyone wants what everyone wants. And simply put, that means it's up to you to create demand for your product or service. Your desired audience, your target market, they might not even know that they want or need what you offer. So you've got to do the hard work to convince people that they do want it by creating buzz, connecting with influencers, building your active social media presence, securing media coverage, basically getting the right people talking about you and your business, getting the right people knowing about you and your business. And by the right people, that doesn't mean, you know, famous people. The right people means the people within your target market, knowing exactly who your niche is, and then going after those people. And then it's about being really clear about where your business is coming from, who specifically buys what you are selling, and ensuring that you are selling enough to those people to sustain a viable business. Get ready to really work. That's the message that I got from the eyebrow guru, Anastasia, who came to this country 20 years ago without speaking a word of English and unable to sign a check. And I probably say her name wrong. I always do. Maybe it's not Anastasia, but you know who she is because her name is on products everywhere. She's got salons all over, too. And the salons that she works at open at 8 a.m. She is at a function every night, sometimes two functions, five nights a week, and then she's back home on her computer until the wee hours doing even more work. And I loved hearing that from her because often people want to work for themselves because they say they want to work less. And to that I say, go get a job because you will work way more than ever if you want to build a truly prosperous business. In Nashville, I met an amazing woman named Gigi Butler who owns Gigi's Cupcakes, and she started it with one location. When she opened her doors, she had, you know, something like $13 in the bank or $33, some really insignificant amount of money left in the bank, and was literally putting all of her eggs in that basket. And now she has more than 65 stores and more than $30 million in annual sales from her cupcakes. And she talks so eloquently about a particularly challenging year, giving birth, going through a divorce, raising an infant on her own, while also traveling weekly to open up so many of these stores, and, of course, obsessing day and night about that perfect swirl of frosting. All of this, again, within less than a year. And someone asked her, you know, wow, how do you manage all of this? And you're still standing and smiling like, gosh, like, this is, you know, incredible. How do you make this happen? And Gigi paused, and she thought about it for a moment, and she was really reflective, and everyone was silent, and then she said, you just have to suck it up. And I love that because it's so true. Sometimes that very much is the only solution or the best solution. You suck it up. And I think that was a very refreshing moment of just great candor and honesty among a small business owner. It's something that I think about all the time, especially when I'm sort of, you know, in a bind or in a situation, and I think, like, gosh, there's no way out. And I realize, like, Tori, you just suck it up and keep going. And that always does the trick. Gina Bianchini is the co-founder of the Ning Network. Maybe you've belonged to a Ning Network. Maybe you've even started one of your own. She's now started a new site called MightyBell.com. That's very cool. And Gina says that 70% of entrepreneurship is managing your own psychology. It's what we tell ourselves, what we allow ourselves to believe. And that is so incredibly true, because there are some people who have the same skills as someone else, the same education or lack of education, and yet it's the one who is just so determined to succeed that makes things happen, not because they have more money or any more access or more prestige or more credentials, but simply because that 70% of managing their own psychology is what's getting them through. And when she's having a bad day, Gina remembers the words of the Amazon.com founder Jeff Bezos, who's known for saying, it's day one every day. And that has a few meanings, day one every day. You know, if yesterday was bad, today's a clean slate. So don't carry over the baggage from the day before. Like, really know that you truly have a fresh start. And most importantly, the day one sensibility is when we are so excited, we're filled with determination and energy, like we're just going to, you know, conquer the world. We can do anything that we want, whether it's, you know, opening day at the ballpark, the first day of a new diet, the first day of school, the first day of fall, whatever that first day is, you know that energy. And that's the kind of day one energy that you absolutely have to muster as a small business owner each and every day. And, you know, that might sound exhausting, but I really believe that it's totally doable when you're doing what you love and when you believe so strongly in your mission and in your targets. You can muster that day one energy 24/7. You know, when you meet people who are just so energized, it's that 70% of managing their own psychology and really, really believing in that day one pace. And I'll wrap up with something else from Barbara Corcoran, who I really love. She's just an incredible woman, and she tells other women all the time, you have the right to be here. You have the right to be here. You have the right to achieve the success that you want for yourself. You know, you can't allow self-limiting beliefs, yours or that of others, and sometimes it's our own, it's not just that of others, to hold you back. You can't allow yourself to, you know, doubt your abilities, because when you get into that self-doubt space, you waste so much precious time and you derail your potential for success. So you really have to believe that you have the right to be here, that you have the right to go after exactly what it is that you want for yourself, and that you're not dreaming too small for yourself, but you know, that you're dreaming just right, and in fact, maybe dreaming a little big or bigger than you have been in the past. And I hope that you will choose to join us in Philly, Austin, or Boston, or all of them. It's only a car, train, or plane ride away from wherever you are. And if you have questions about, you know, whether or not you think it's right for you, you can feel free to ask me them anytime. Some of the best ways to reach me are through social media, where I'm very active, facebook.com/Tory, T-O-R-Y, or on Twitter, just simply at Tori Johnson. You can also visit my website at sparkandhustle.com and send me a question from there, because I want to do whatever I can to convince you to participate in the conferences. Every year I get more excited than the previous year, because just the energy and the pace and the sense that we're, you know, part of something really big, and that there's also then very much hands-on, tactical, and strategic advice that each of us can take away and apply to our own businesses and to our own careers is pretty powerful stuff. And it's a great reason why I look forward to continuing my relationship with the conferences, and why I'm so excited to be able to co-present this small business track in all three of the states. So I appreciate you dialing in, and I definitely look forward to seeing you soon. I'm not going to say that I hope to see you soon, because I started off by telling you that hope is not a strategy. So I'm sort of declaring that I want to see you there, and if you have questions, let me know. But I look forward to seeing you very soon at the conference closest to you. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.